This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Don Wick and from Tyler Donaldson. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow is expected to release her farm bill proposal today. Senate Agriculture Committee aide told the Hagstrom Report that Stabenow's proposal would include summaries but would not include text. The proposal is expected to incorporate more than 100 bills that have been introduced as markers of what members want to include in the farm bill. The aide says the proposal would also move the agriculture sections of the Inflation Reduction Act into the farm bill. Tax credits are now available for production of crops for sustainable aviation fuel. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick is in Washington, D.C. and has complete coverage.
Our coverage from Washington, D.C. made possible by the Minnesota Farmers Union, by the South Dakota Farm Bureau, NDFB, and Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation. The Biden administration has issued the long-awaited guidance for sustainable aviation fuel tax credits. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack gave farm broadcasters a preview of the updated GREET model, saying climate-smart agriculture reduces greenhouse gases.
In other words, agriculture's foot is in the door. We're in the game.
Three climate-smart practices were cited to qualify for the tax credits: no-till, enhanced efficiency fertilizers, and cover crops. Farmers who adopt those practices won't be audited or face penalties.
And the reason we've got those three is because we've had them for a while and we know how to measure the impact and effect of them. So that's the work that we're going to be doing here over the course of the next 6 or 7 months, is where can we showcase an understanding and an ability to verify and report the results of sorghum and conservation practices that are in place out there in the countryside growing sorghum or any other agricultural product.
The response from ag groups has been lukewarm at best, with the requirements being called unworkable. North Dakota Senator Kevin Kramer is also concerned.
Really, what I worry about, Don, more than anything, is that they're going to set it up for failure. It does no good to have a credit system or some type sort of a tax incentive or a tax scheme designed to, you know, have a preferable outcome if you set everything up to fail. What I always worry about is the one-size-fits-all mentality that oftentimes comes out of Treasury or Commerce or the White House.
Minnesota Representative Angie Craig said this announcement actually hampers the farmers' ability to participate in the sustainable aviation fuel market and asked the White House to rework these guidelines. Our coverage from Washington, D.C., made possible by Associated Milk Producers Incorporated and its Dinner Bell Creamery, and by the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. From Washington, D.C., I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
Reactions from biofuel and ag groups to the Treasury Department's GREET model continue. Minnesota Corn Growers Association saying it's unreasonable for the Biden administration to expect corn growers to implement no-till practices, enhanced efficiency fertilizers, and cover crops for their grain to meet the new standards required to qualify for sustainable aviation fuel tax credits. Minnesota Corn Growers Association recognizes the value of climate smart practices, but is disappointed at the tax guideline that it takes a one-size-fits-all approach. Corn Growers President Dana Allen Tully says the administration's requirements strip the options that corn farmers have to qualify as a feedstock for sustainable aviation fuel. And in a statement from the American Soybean Association, North Dakota farmer and American Soybean Association president Josh Gackel says the short growing season and unpredictable fall weather makes the cover crop requirement alone next to impossible for farmers in the northern plains. Gackel says employing both no-till and cover cropping is contrary to what Mother Nature will allow. You can go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com. Sign up for the weekly FarmNet News e-newsletter. You can also download this broadcast. Follow us on Facebook, X, and at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Biden administration's GREET model is being described as a good first step, but more needs to be done. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
According to Growth Energy Senior Vice President of Regulatory Affairs Chris Bliley, much of the policy and investments surrounding sustainable aviation fuels will depend on the standardization provided by the GREET model.
So it's a tremendous new market. As bioethanol producers, today we're providing a great source for on-road fuels, but with sustainable aviation fuel, you know, a tremendous new market, you know, 30-ish billion gallons a year. And so, but we have to get the policy and the modeling right. And so there's a lot of investment on the sidelines today. President Biden talked about 95% of jet fuel coming, sustainable aviation fuel, coming from America's farmers, but we really need to see this policy come into place correctly so that we can see that investment start to move off the sidelines.
Bliley feels that sustainable aviation fuel's impact will be felt globally, but it all depends on the modeling and the policy that follows.
This is something that there's a tremendous amount of demand, I think, from the airlines and certainly globally. A lot of countries moving, you know, various policies, you know, to address climate globally. And so I think airlines are hungry for this fuel, but it takes a tremendous amount of capital and a tremendous amount of investment to get these plants up and running so that we can use important feedstocks like bioethanol. And so it's really important that we get this modeling right and the policy right as well.
A lot of carbon capture credits and carbon intensity scores will rely upon the GREET model, and further investments could follow suit.
But what we really want to ensure is that people get credit for the greenhouse gas reductions that they're doing at the plant and on the farm. And so we'll be really anxious to see how this credit captures that innovation taking place at the plant, things like carbon capture and sequestration, renewable natural gas, renewable power, and then on the farm, a lot of investment in climate smart agriculture, cover crops, no-till, things such as that. And it's really important that these things be chosen off a menu, and that you get credit for this innovation taking place, you know, really across the spectrum.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper says the GREET model guidance positions ethanol-based aviation fuel for takeoff, but more work needs to be done. Cooper saying the Renewable Fuels Association believes less prescription on ag practices and more flexibility needs to be added. Growth Energy CEO Emily Skor says the Biden administration's restrictive all-or-nothing approach is likely to result in less, not more, producer buy-in to emission-reducing technologies. The H5N1 virus has been identified in dairy cattle in 9 states. USDA limited the interstate movement of dairy cattle and implemented mandatory testing. In a meeting with farm broadcasters, USDA Undersecretary of Marketing and Regulatory Programs Jennifer Lester Moffitt was asked if it was safe to assume the virus is also in the beef herd.
Information and data that APHIS has at this point is only positives in dairy cows. And actually, I should further clarify that the movement restriction across state line is for lactating dairy cows at this point. As we have mandatory reporting, as we do more and gather more information on those pre-movement testing, hopefully we'll have it will paint a better picture of what's happening. And then from there, we will follow the science and we'll follow the data to take further action that might be warranted. We hopefully will be able to get a better understanding of what's happening across the landscape in other states as well as across livestock, yeah, and cattle in general.
Moffitt emphasized there's no evidence of live virus in pasteurized milk. Cooking ground beef to the proper temperatures is also recommended. USDA did announce yesterday they are now testing ground beef for traces of avian influenza in the states with the infected dairy cattle. Again, that led to a futures market sell-off in both feeder cattle and live cattle yesterday. Basis bids at the regional grain elevators, followed by the Red River Farm Network, moved to the July futures at most of the elevators. Corn basis ranging from 45 to 60 under the July in the north, with Worthington 5 cents under the July in the south. Soybeans basis ranging from 81 cents to $1.31 under the July futures, and spring wheat basis ranging from 30 to 65 under the July Minneapolis futures. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Older calves in more confined areas this time of year should be watched closely. NDSU Extension veterinarian and livestock stewardship specialist Dr. Jerry Stucca explains what to look for.
When they get to be 3 weeks of age and then older, coccidiosis, which is a protozoan parasite, can impact and infect their intestinal tract. And what you'll see with that is calves that have real loose diarrhea with blood in it. And if they're that old, chances are really good that that's coccidiosis. And so they need to be treated. And again, that's kind of a space issue. The closer you have them confined, the more likely they are to pick up that protozoal organism. So space is your friend.
Bad weather can also lead to other calf issues.
Enterotoxemia. A lot of times that occurs in herds where you've got heavy milking cows. And let's say you've got rain and that calf didn't nurse for maybe even 18 to 20 hours, and it comes and takes a big load of milk, and then that organism overgrows and produces a toxin, and then we've got a case where the gut stasis occurs. In other words, that's nothing moving through the gut, and so you've got a calf that gets really large, enlarged abdomen, and they're painful, they kick at their belly. And so again, it's a combination of the organism being there, but also heavy milking and infrequent nursing is really the one that drives that along.
And now that the Environmental Protection Agency has released its herbicide strategy, American Sugar Beet Growers Association Executive Vice President Luther Marquardt says the next focus will be on insecticides and fungicides.
Our industry has worked very well with EPA, giving them some real-life examples of some of the things that problems that they were going to cause. And I think they're making some changes to that, given our input. And we've got a great new asset in our organization, Dr. Nick Storer, who's been very helpful in this process, and helping to lead our industry to make sure that EPA doesn't overstep its bounds.
Marquardt says it's important to work with and provide input from the farmer's perspective.
EPA is getting obviously a lot of pressure from the courts. And they're trying to do the right things, but it gets complicated. And some of this stuff, they just need people who are on the front lines to be able to come in and explain what happens if we take some of their recommendations, how difficult it will be for farmers. So it's a long, tough process. There's going to be lots of submissions this summer, and we're ready to step in and get it done.
Checking markets before we leave you this morning, we're seeing red across the screen. Wheat complex, 2 to 3 lower in Minneapolis, unchanged to 7 lower in the winter wheats. Corn right now trading 2 to 3 lower, and we're seeing soybeans trading 4 to 5 cents lower this morning. On the farm calendar this morning, pretty quiet here for as far as the rest of this week goes. Farm Broadcasters Convention continuing in Washington, D.C. Thanks for joining us. Have a great morning. This is the Red River Farm Network.